Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com.
Brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' Wednesday loss in Houston and the road ahead for Golden State. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament. That was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, it's been an interesting week for the Warriors. If you go back to Monday and that win over the Portland Trailblazers, that definitely energized the fan base, I think. At least it energized me, that's for sure. And then this game against the Rockets, you know, the Warriors were in it in the first half. They were only down by two with, I think, about 3 or 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. But the Rockets were just too much with their three-point shooting. 21 three-pointers, veteran players on the floor that know what they're doing. And, you know, the Warriors aren't going to always be able to pull out wins like they did on Monday. But definitely, I think Monday sort of proved that this is definitely going to be a watchable team, at least, going forward.
Well, the energy is there. We were talking about that last week. You got a lot of guys who are just starting in the league. You got 9 players, 23 and younger. Other guys trying to reestablish themselves with new teams, you know, trying to get a foothold in the league. So you'd better see that effort. And we did on Monday. It was a terrific game. I mean, it's up and down. It was sort of, you know, the Warriors are going to have a whole bunch of scramble plays and a lot of helter-skelter. But I don't think there's going to be any lack of effort. And so the coaching staff deserves praise for that. But again, at the same time, you should expect that. That's the one thing you should expect, especially when you have a talent deficit. Get out there and hustle. And they're doing that. And, you know, it's just a tremendous talent deficit against Houston. And what do they have, 21 three-pointers in this game. Clint Capella was cleaning up on the inside. He had a terrific game as well because the Warriors are so weak at the five. So, you know, it was just, you know, I think that's what made the Monday game so enjoyable. It was so unexpected. I don't think the Trailblazers had much regard for the team they were facing. I don't think the Rockets did either. And Mike D'Antoni was getting a little frustrated there in the second quarter, but they finally got their attention. And there was a moment I noticed the reporting on the game where Eric Paschal, who had such a great game Monday, and, you know, he had P.J. Tucker on him tonight, so it was kind of tough to match what he did on Monday with the 34 points and the 13 rebounds. He ends up with 19 points. He gets an and one in the second quarter, and he's yelling at the Warriors bench. I guess he got it off of Harden. Right? And so he drove to the bucket, got the and one, and he's yelling at the Warrior bench, "He's food!" And from that point on, James Harden ate up the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to antagonize these guys. And Harden, he was pulling off those step backs left and right and hitting the threes. He had 36 points. He had 6 threes. He had 13 assists, like you said, those lobs to Capella. So, I mean, it's almost like they were sort of toying with the Warriors. When they really needed to score, they did it. And they had so many different guys that were contributing. And, you know, Austin Rivers off the bench went 4 for 4 on his threes. House hit 5 threes. Tucker hit 4 of them. So you're not going to beat a Rockets team that's hitting threes like that. But, again, like you said, the effort by the Warriors is there. And I really do like the presence of Burks off the bench, scoring 28 points. You know, he's a veteran guy who, you know, seems to be fitting in well with these young guys.
Well, yeah, they got 9 guys that they were carting out there for the last couple of games. So there's got to be some veteran to take charge there. And Burks did that for a while tonight. He had a real good game. I mean, he's a guy that you hope that provides some scoring punch off the bench, even when Steph Curry gets back. And, you know, when D'Angelo Russell returns, which, from what I'm hearing, is going to be pretty soon. You know, you got Glenn Robbins III, who's at least played in the league a little bit. But, you know, this is going to be a theme for the Warriors. There are going to be stretches where they're going to struggle to find the offense. And if they're not shooting well, you know, a team like Houston getting out in transition, especially Russell Westbrook, they're going to kill you. and they shot 39% for the field tonight. That's not going to cut it against a team of Houston's quality. So you're going to see games like that. But they operate at a much higher efficiency level on Monday. And when they're knocking down their shots, you know, and they're going to have to knock down some threes, then they might be able to stay in some of these games. But, you know, I mean, man, the schedule over the next week's a grinder. So, as I said at the start of the season, you look at the schedule early on, and there are a lot of losses there, especially now that Steph Curry's out, Looney's out, as well as Clay. You know, you're missing some real talent there, and D'Angelo Russell. They're going to be well under 500. I sense that they're, you know, with this group, there's some talent there, and there is definitely the effort level, and you're going to see them, you know, get closer to 500 later in the season, but they're not going to threaten for a playoff spot. The interesting part, again, is going to see which of these young guys are going to be able to get it done and stay with the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, they play an exciting brand of basketball. There's no doubt about it. I mean, especially Kai Bowman, who, you know, who knows what happens with him. He's on a two-way contract. So, you know, I don't know that he sticks in the NBA for a long time or anything, but he's sure giving it his best effort. And, you know, yeah, he's overmatched when he's trying to defend against James Harden. I mean, that's just something that, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to do. But, you know, he's an exciting guy. I mean, just the way he runs around and trying to run the offense. And they're moving the ball pretty well with him at the point guard position.
Yeah, Kai Bowman played a terrific game Monday against Portland, and he's showing no fear. And he's able to do a lot of things. You know, he's a smaller guy, so defensively that's going to be a challenge for him. And you know, one of the things you got to look at is who's with Steph on the floor when Steph gets back? Well, obviously, optimally, it's Clay, but it's a long time before he gets back. So who do you pair Steph with when he gets back? Who can you work with? Is it going to be D'Angelo Russell? They have two different types of games. I'm not necessarily sure that's going to be a fit, but who can you find that can work with Steph? But in the meantime, the auditions are underway, and all I can say about Kai Bowman is he's done nothing so far to tell me that he doesn't have a shot here. He's taking advantage of the situation, and he looks like he can play in this league. Again, it's going to be a huge learning curve for him, as it is going to be for Jordan Poole, but he's a first-round pick. He's got a little more job security, you know, given the realities and the politics of draft picks. I mean, Eric Paschal looks like he's going to be a steal at 41.
Yeah.
But Steve Kerr was mentioning that he sees a comparable with P.J. Tucker, which is a great compliment if you're talking about defense. If he can end up being the defender that P.J. Tucker is, I mean, you've got something, because I think Eric Paschal already has greater variety to his offensive game than Tucker does. But, you know, we're 8 or 9 games into the season. We're getting way ahead of ourselves here. But that's a scenario that you could see happening. I think Paschal is NBA ready. He's got an NBA body. He's a mature guy. He's got the right kind of attitude. You know, yelling at the bench tonight, and he's food, and then James Harden eating up the Warriors. I don't know if there's a correlation there. But it's just interesting that those two things happen. And, you know, again, that's part of the learning curve. But I like Paschal a lot. I like that draft pick when they got it. He's even better than I thought it was going to be so far. And then, you know, there's Alan Smilagic, who's close to getting back. And, you know, one thing I'll say about Jordan Poole and Smilagic, there's some swagger to their games. They don't lack in confidence either. I mean, with Jordan Poole, at some point the results have to match the confidence. I mean, he's shooting in the 20s. That's got to get better. But he's firing away. So, I mean, this is the time you do it on a team like this.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
I didn't know that Paschal could shoot the three. as well as he was doing it on Monday. I don't know that a lot of people realize that, but I think that's a major plus to have that kind of ability because, I mean, I think a lot of it was expected of Poole shooting the three because, you know, he was a three-point bomber in college at Michigan. But I just don't know that Pascal, you know, shooting from the NBA three was going to be that good. And he showed off that skill on Monday, and he had a couple of them here tonight on Wednesday. So, you know, it seems like he's got an all-around game.
Yeah, you can see that taking shape. I mean, again, there are going to be mistakes. There are going to be missed assignments. There are a few point-blank shots he missed tonight. But you can see he has the strength to take it to the basket. And, you know, he might be the answer to one of the questions we have at the start of the year. Who else besides Steph is going to be a reliable three-point shooter on this team? Because you're going to need a couple of them. Is it going to be Draymond? I mean, with his ailments, I don't see that. And really, that's not his game at this point in his career. You know, he's going to be left open, and there'll be times late in the clock where he's going to have to shoot it, but it's not a big part of his game anymore. So is Pascal going to be one of those guys? And how does it match up with Pascal and Draymond when Draymond comes back? You know, you could see a scenario where Pascal plays the three when Draymond plays the four, or when Draymond's out, Pascal plays the four. But sometimes Pascal will play the four, and they'll have Draymond at center. It's going to be an interesting dynamic where that's concerned when Draymond comes back after this road trip. But in the meantime, I mean, this is the exciting part of it, I guess, even if the results, the wins aren't there. It's just finding out, learning about these players, learning what they can do and what they can't do. And the great thing about rookies is, you know, it's the story hasn't been written yet, so you can let your imagination run wild.
You can. You know, you mentioned Draymond coming back, and I think this team gets better when he comes back. It's weird how I feel about D'Angelo Russell. I'm not sure that the team is better when he comes back. I mean, I know he can score. He's going to take a lot of shots, and I think it's strange because it just slows everything up the way he operates. He's got to have the ball in his hands. It's kind of like James Harden in a way where, you know, he's going to do a lot of one-on-one, and he's going to, you know, shoot a lot. He's going to drive to the basket. He's got a lot of skill, but it doesn't get everybody involved the way everybody's involved right now. What do you think?
Yeah, he can be a ball-dominant player, and he can be effective at that on certain nights. You know, when Looney gets back, you could see a lot of pick-and-roll action involving D'Angelo Russell, which, you know, the Warriors haven't used a whole bunch when it comes to players like Steph Curry in the past. But I think that's a strength of his game. But long-term, and this is why I brought this up in our first episode, and it's been brought up by other people too, because we know that it's possible that later on in the season, D'Angelo Russell could be traded. In the meantime, you try to future him and make him a guy who has value in case you do figure out that you want to trade him. Because I'm not sure he's a fit with the Warriors long term. This is, you know, then we're not able to find this out now because Steph's out for 3 months and Clay is out till, well, he could be out for the year. So, you know, that we may never get to find out that. In the meantime, though, you got to find out exactly what you have with him. He was an all-star and he made a nice jump last year. But this may not be the right team for him as far as the style. You know, culturally, it's a good place for him to be. But, you know, again, a lot of those guys aren't around. Few of them are home at the moment. So, yeah, and the other part of it is you got a whole bunch of guys getting a chance now, guys like Kai Bowman, Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal. You almost want to keep that going because they may have a longer-term future with this team than D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was thinking about that. By the way, Russell reportedly is going to be back in there Friday when the Warriors are in Minnesota playing the Timberwolves. But Kevon Looney is not going to be back for any time soon. They said the Warriors today giving an update that his return to play timeline will be provided in 2 weeks. He's got some kind of nerve related symptoms. They've done a bunch of tests. They're hopeful, encouraged, but 2 weeks before we hear anything.
Yeah, they've been trying to find out a way to treat it. It sounds like they think they've found something, but they're not rushing it. And why would you with a hamstring? And why would you on a team that's 2-6 and going to be at the bottom of the conference? There's no reason. Again, with a player that you're going to have around for a while, to rush him back and aggravate the injury. but it would be nice to have him back. It'd be nice to have Draymond back. It'd be nice to have D'Angelo Russell back. Jacob Evans, even, you know, who was looking pretty good at the start of the season. You know, you get these guys back, and all right, you've got a competitive team, and of course Steph Curry down the road. But you know, that would be a nice scenario to see how they all work together. But it, really, there's just no reason to rush any of these guys back.
One of the stories that came out that I happened to see on Yahoo Sports was talking about D'Angelo Russell and the possibility of him, you know, maybe getting traded down the road, and what the Warriors could get for him. I mean, if they could get a first-round draft pick, I mean, yeah, that would be pretty good. I mean, I guess the better he plays for them here in, you know, the next month or 2 months, the better off the Warriors are going to be just overall as a franchise.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. They could definitely get a high draft pick out of this. They could also package a pick with Russell and maybe get a player that's, if not all-star caliber close, who's a better fit. Or even further down the road, look at packaging a couple of players with Russell and getting a real star value player. You know, but the course problem with that is some of those players may end up being free agent. Do you have a high level of confidence that you'd be able to sign these guys to a long-term deal? And everybody's talking about the Greek freak, but, you know, it's a pipe dream right now to me, and it's way too far down the road. But I think you can, you know, if this isn't a guy who's going to lead you to the playoffs, and there are contenders out there to be interested in him, hell yeah, you've got to consider it, and you've got to field offers. And I'm sure that's in the back of their mind and maybe even in the front of their mind at this point.
Did you hear about what Kevin McHale said about the Warriors? I don't know if you heard about
No.
that. Kevin McHale on NBA TV before the game against the Blazers said that the Blazers were going to beat the crap out of the Warriors. He said he promised it. And he said that it was just a matter of how many points. It wasn't, you know, a matter of who was going to win the game. And the Warriors could play as hard as they wanted to. It wouldn't make a difference. And he said that they're like your favorite little blankie when you were a kid. You just feel good when you go there. So I don't know. Maybe some of the Warriors heard about those comments. I'm not sure that they did because it was, you know, right before the game, I guess. But, man, I mean, that is really something that he said that. And then they go out and beat the Blazers right after that.
Yeah, well, I think he did own it afterwards. So, I mean, how could you not? Because that's about as far off, that's about as much of a whiff as you can get. That's like, you know, 50 cent first pitch bad as far as being off the target, you know. But that's what made it so fun, because nobody was expecting that. I mean, none of us were expecting that on Monday night. But it was a good message, a good learning experience in that way. I mean, you can learn from wins, too. Is tell these young players, hey, if you go out there and just ball and leave it all out on the floor, some nights you're going to pick up wins that people don't think you're going to pick up. And I get the feeling that the Trailblazers probably thought the same way that Kevin McHale did, because I know that Terry Stotts was aggravated with the effort level they had. And then they kind of got in their heads, right? And they drawing technical fouls. And I didn't hear, was there any discipline for Rodney Hood for that cheap shot? That he laid on, was it Damian Lee or Jordan Poole or Kai Bowman? I forget which one of the young Warrior players, but it was mid-court. It was trailing a play. It had nothing to do with the play. And he just shoves him down. He just shoulder blocks him down. I hadn't heard whether
it was. And it didn't get called, though, right away.
It didn't get called, right.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that was an example of how they just got him out of their game.
I'm just seeing this here right now, Ray, that they assessed a flagrant one after the league reviewed it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's something. I'd give him a two, but that's just me, because that had nothing to do with the play, and you could get somebody hurt that way. But, you know, at least they did something. It was Jordan Poole, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, and the officials aren't looking, and Poole didn't see it. And it's lucky nobody got hurt on the play, but he should have been penalized in some way.
Yeah. You know, just thinking about that game on Monday and a bunch of young guys that are just learning. And I was listening to Tim Roy on the radio here on Wednesday, And he was saying that at one of the practices, or maybe it might have been before the game today, that a bunch of the assistant coaches were standing around with, you know, iPads and laptops and going over stuff with the young players. It's something that you just didn't see with the Warriors in recent years. I mean, you know, all these young guys are learning. I mean, the coaching staff didn't have to do that before. And now you got a bunch of, you know, young rookies that these guys are learning every day, and they have to look at a lot of video and discuss all that stuff.
Yeah, well, I think in a way Kerr's enjoying it. The coaching staff's enjoying it, the teaching moments. And what you will see, you know, sometimes early in games, and you saw it against Houston, quick timeouts when Houston goes on a run or there's a missed defensive assignment. So you can sit there and talk about, okay, this is what needed to happen here. This is what you need to do. These are things you didn't need to tell guys like Draymond Green or Sean Livingston or Klay Thompson or so on and so forth before. They knew the drill, right? And the only question then was the focus and, you know, being on the same page all the time. I mean, you know, you play a lot of games, play a lot of minutes, and sometimes things are going to get crossed up. But it didn't happen very often. Kerr didn't have to think about that too much. But he has to with these guys. And the nice thing is they do have a lot of time. They have a lot of time together this season. And they can develop at least some of that nonverbal communication, especially on defense, the Warriors had before. But it's going to be, you know, a painful growing experience. You know, they're going to be one of the worst defensive teams in the league for a while here, and they're small on top of everything else. So, yeah, you know, a team that has anybody that has any kind of presence at the five is going to kill them, like a Clint Capella or a Montrezl Harrell. But they're going to learn along the way. And so you're going to see timeouts where it's just nothing but discussing the learning moments of the last play and how you change that going forward.
Well, Carl Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves are waiting on Friday night in Minneapolis. And then to Oklahoma City, the Warriors already lost there by 28. And that's the thing. If you could just stay in the game and make it interesting, it's a heck of a lot more fun. But this schedule, I mean, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Utah, they're a good team. And then the Lakers in L.A. next Wednesday, it just doesn't get any easier. Celtics after that, it's not an easy schedule.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a grind here for the next week. So you talk about learning moments, there are going to be a ton of those. You know, so don't be surprised. If they win one of those games, that would be great. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to use the word tank, and that's not what they're doing here, because the players are, like I said, they're playing hard. They're fighting for jobs. So it isn't a classic franchise tank. But it has the same effect because you have such a talent and experience deficit right now. Having said that, later on in the year, they could be picking up some wins, you know, getting some experience, learning together. And I do think there's enough talent there that eventually they will pick up some wins, but not early in the season.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Ray, look forward to talking again next week. By the way, I'm glad that you came out there on social media and you're talking about how you're feeling better and going through your treatment and, you know, on Twitter. You're back on Twitter. So everything's looking up for you, and really happy to hear that.
Well, thank you, Joe. As I mentioned on the social media sites, I'm more than halfway through the treatment, and we hope to get done right around Thanksgiving. And if it's like it's been for 95 to 98% of the people in my case, we'll hopefully move on with life at the first of the year. We take nothing for granted, but I'm doing everything they say, and I'm in good hands. I can tell you that. We got off Twitter for a little while. I just needed to get clear, get my mind straight. But I definitely want to get it back on so we can promote the podcast and talk a little hoops with fans, and we're kind of working our way back into that. So at Ray Woodson 20 on Twitter now. It's no longer 925 because we're no longer in the 925.
Right, exactly.
That'd be false advertising.
And I saw you were on the, I guess it was an elliptical machine or maybe a treadmill, one or the other, but I was really looking hard to see if Klay Thompson or Steph Curry were near you because, you know, they're trying to come back too.
Yeah, well, those guys would leave me in the dust. Even Klay, you know, what is it, 4 months after surgery, he'd be leaving me in the dust now. But we're doing our thing. We're going out 35 to 40 minutes for a shot, and it's definitely helped. And I'm able to do most of the things I did before, just got to pace myself. For example, at the moment I'm on my favorite recliner, So God bless this recliner. It's a big part of my day, too, as well as the elliptical.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll be taking in these Warriors games during the next week on that recliner. Thanks, Ray, and talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.